Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 153rd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include actress Danielle Lawson, making her debut acting performance in the upcoming King Richard as the role of Isha Price. We'll also visit with author and also podcaster Sam Fragoso. We'll talk about his podcast, Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso. We'll also talk with actress Layla Crawford, who plays Lindrea Price in King Richard, which is available in theaters and on HBO Max tomorrow. And we'll also visit with singer-songwriter Mackenzie Phipps, as a new Christmas song called Christmas Snow. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, you know how people say that Christmas is about the spirit of giving? And it's the thought that counts, right? Well, that may be true for gift giving, but according to a new survey, it does not include gift wrapping. 52% of people say that the worst part of the entire holiday season is wrapping presents, and 51% hate it so much they'd rather pay a professional to wrap their gifts. 50% will go out of their way to avoid buying gifts that will be difficult to wrap, like bicycles, gym equipment, sports equipment, guitars, and candles. What? So this is why we can't stay in shape. Fitness stuff, just too hard to wrap. And this is relatable. 59% say that they can tell what something is and who it's from based on how it's been wrapped. Of course, you've seen all about King Richard in theaters this Friday. And from that, we've got, better known as Isha Price in the movie, we've got Danielle Lawson with us this morning. And first off, Danielle, I appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Danielle, this is your debut role in King Richard. And for you, what's it like to have that debut working alongside none other than Will Smith himself?
Oh, wow. Having my debut and working with Mr. Will has been truly a blessing. The whole cast and crew is so amazing. And this story is just one that is so inspiring. And I'm so glad that this is my first big project.
The movie King Richard, if folks haven't seen the trailers or the previews, they've been hiding under a rock, Danielle. Tell our listeners a little bit about the movie as well.
Okay, well, King Richard is the story of the Williams family, and it really just highlights Venus and Serena's father, Richard Williams, who wrote out a plan of greatness for them and encouraged them to go out there and chase their dreams along with the help of their family and their mom. And it just really shows how they got to where they are today with the help of love and their family.
How long ago did you first know about the Williams story? I mean, it went from rags to riches and all because of King Richard's leadership as well.
Well, I didn't know too much about their story until I actually, you know, auditioned for this role and did my studies. But I always knew about Venus and Serena. I mean, they are icons and heroes, and I looked up to them for all of my life, but it wasn't until I auditioned for the role and then I got casted for the role that I learned their full story.
And Danielle, what was your reaction when you got the call that you had been picked in the cast?
Oh, when I got the call, I was screaming. I was so excited. I feel like all of my hard work has paid off. I've been in this industry for 10 plus years and I'm only 16, so it's been a while, and I feel like this is just my big break and my opportunity to shine, and I'm so excited.
And what is something maybe that you learned about yourself in the process of making this film that you see helping you out in the years to come as well?
I really see that I have a great work ethic. I mean, we had to go to set every day. Sometimes it was cold, sometimes it was hot. And, you know, I'm just a fighter, and I push through adversity. And I really like that about myself, and just being with such an amazing cast and crew really helped work not feel like work every day.
And your role in the film as Isha, what was the biggest challenge trying to get into the skin of the character, if you will?
Well, the challenge for me was really the decade difference. I'm a 2000s baby, and this film takes place in the 80s and the 90s. So I had to pick up some of the slang. I had to listen to the music. I got to sit down with Miss Isha and talk about her favorite snacks of the time. You know, there's certain words you can't say because they're not decade appropriate, you know? I just had to really learn about the time period that I was in.
That's cool. Now, I want to make sure, Danielle, if folks want to find out more information about the film and everything you've got going social media-wise, where's the best place for folks to keep up with that as well?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram at Danielle Denise Lawson. That's Danielle with one L. And you can follow the King Richard Instagram, which is King Richard Film.
Well, Danielle Lawson, it's been great to visit with you. Can't wait to see you on the big screen this weekend. Check out the new movie King Richard in theaters coming up tomorrow. And Danielle, hope you have a great weekend. Try to get a little bit of rest in there.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
You may roll your eyes at the internet security lectures that your boss forces you to sit through, but there are still a ton of people who apparently just want to get hacked. Every year, a company called NordPass goes through all the list of hacked passwords that get leaked on the internet to figure out the most common, easy, and hackable ones that people are still using. And once again, the two most common passwords are 123456 and password. Now somewhere a room full of Russians are looking up from their fake Facebook accounts and smiling. Now other common bad ones are 111111, QWERTY, sunshine, football, soccer, monkey, password 1, princess, and unknown. Now there's a list of the top 200 worst passwords in the US, and it includes Superman, Cookie, LinkedIn, Whatever, Let Me In, Boo Boo, and Muffin. What? And some people really put a lot of effort into making their dumb passwords work, like password with the 0 for the O, that also made the top 200.
Got the podcast Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we've got Sam online with us today. And first off, Sam, I appreciate your time.
Cameron, appreciate yours. How you doing?
I am doing much better. My voice is still coming back to us, but we'll fight through anyway.
Okay. If you need me to talk more, then I'll take over.
There you go. Now, Sam, tell us where the idea for the podcast, I mean, it's been out there for a while. Where did this come up and how important do you think podcasting has become over the last couple of years as well?
It started 5 years ago. Before that, I was doing interviews in print and online for places like Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, NPR, a whole bunch of outlets. And eventually I just felt doing these on microphone where you can actually hear the person that you're talking to. For the listener, they can actually hear the person instead of just reading the words on a page. I think that became more and more important. So I think podcasts are growing for that reason. You know, people want to hear people talk in a way that feels... you know, human and honest. That sounds very silly and simple, but I think it's true. So that's where Talk Easy came from, is that need to sit with people, to have conversations. I don't totally think we're always having, you know, our show is deeply, deeply researched. It's not one of these chat shows, although some of my favorite shows are chat shows. This is a different kind of outlet where, you know, we come to the table with a whole bunch of research. We sit with the person's life and kind of find these inflection points that I think, you know, I'm sure you and I both have in our own lives. And it's true, no matter who you sit with, they have those moments in their lives where, you know, they fall in love, they fall out of love, they go to college, they come back home, they find their footing, they move cross country for a job they're trying to pursue. So, you know, these moments, sitting with them and seeing how they land, what they mean, and, you know, figuring it all out.
What was the interview that really made you realize that maybe you had struck a chord? Was there one that really just made you realize that you were on the right track?
There was. It was about 3.5 years ago. I'm driving my really terrible car to Beverly Hills to an office, and it's Norman Lear's office. And I walk in. It doesn't matter that I have a terrible car, but it does matter that I have a terrible car. And by the end of that interview, I did feel like we had something. You know, something about Norman's presence, his empathy, but also just his curiosity that he put on tape. You know, this is a guy who made All in the Family and Maude and the Jeffersons and basically every show that mattered in the 20th century. And something about him, by the end of that, I thought, okay, this is good. This is going to work, because he showed up and he talked about things that he never talked about before on other interviews. And he was human in his way at 96 or 97 then, that I thought, oh, this there's a reason that we're doing this.
He's always a great visit, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Now, Sam, for you, as you come into the new episodes, the new guests, does the format maybe shift a little bit based on who the guest is going to be?
It does not. It is, no matter the guest, it's an hour. I sit with them for an hour. Apologies. And, you know, maybe an hour to 80 minutes, and then it's cut down to about 40 minutes. So, again, it's not this kind of rambling, circuitous show. It really is deeply edited and, you know, structured in a way that, you know, still feels free-flowing. But, no, it's an hour plus with each person, and from there we cut it down.
Now, what is maybe been the best piece of feedback that you've received? What's the one that makes you kind of sit there and go?
Well, you see, what the listeners don't know is that you're patting yourself on the back there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I come from Chicago, so patting yourself on the back, it's, you know, about a podcast. It's just I'm not going to do it, but. If I had to say, like, what is nice feedback that I know other people on our show like, it's that that the questions were pretty singular. And I think the answers and the responses that the questions yield were singular in their vulnerability and their humanity. And that is a recurring, you know, compliment of the show over and over, is that you don't totally know if you're going to be interested in the person that we have on, and by the end, you're like, oh man, that person said seven things that I'm going to hold and keep and move through my day with. So that's a recurring compliment. I don't know about patting yourself on the back, but that's as close as it comes.
Getting the feedback, though, is always key, especially moving the podcast forward. What was maybe the challenge early on to keep going in the podcast?
To keep going. The challenge is to keep going. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a podcast, a new job, you're going to college, you're working three. It doesn't matter what it is. The hardest thing is to keep going, no matter the discipline. So to keep going, to keep re-answering the question that is this worth doing? And if you can keep saying yes, it doesn't matter what the heck you're doing.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you wake up 5 years later and suddenly you're sitting with Cameron Dole.
You're dropping names now. I appreciate that. Now, Sam, if folks want to check out the podcast, Talk Easy, I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find that, where they can also keep up with everything you've got going social media wise as well.
You can find Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever. If you do listen to podcasts or you don't listen to podcasts, these are pretty attainable things. Especially if you have an iPhone, you know, you can find it online at our website at talkeasypod.com. We air a new episode every Sunday morning. And, you know, for those listening that are on the fence, I promise you it's less me and more the other person. So if you've listened to this interview and you thought, I don't know about Sam, I'm not really sure, don't worry. Because it's about other people. So, and I'll give you my favorite episode since we're running out of time. you know, George Saunders, Michael Lewis, Laura Dern, Jhumpa Lahiri, Dave Eggers, Steven Soderbergh, Larry Wilmore, Alan Alda, Norman Lear, Rob Reiner, all these people have come on. And I assure you, the only reason they came on is not because I'm a famous person. It's because they were open and interested in the kind of conversations we have on the show. So I hope that answers your question. And I hope you listen.
That is good stuff. Again, Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso. Check it out anywhere you get your podcast. And Sam, thank you again for your time today. I'm looking forward to checking out your new episode this weekend.
Well, it's with Buffy St. Marie, and I thank you very much for your time.
If you haven't bought your turkey yet, you better get on it. There's a shortage this year, but if you don't get one, it might not be the end of the world. A new poll found 74% of Americans would be okay with an all-sides Thanksgiving, meaning no turkey, just side dishes. And the average person expects to have at least 5 of them to choose from this year. Now, mashed potatoes are the number one side that we need to have or we'll be disappointed. Stuffing is a close second. Now, the 10 most important sides are mashed potatoes, stuffing, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, mac and cheese, green bean casserole, candied yams, cornbread, baked potatoes, and corn on the cob. Now, mashed potatoes are number one everywhere in the country except the South, where stuffing or dressing edged them out by 1 percentage point. 43% of people said that their family basically serves the exact same Thanksgiving dinner each year and hasn't changed things up in at least 4 years. And the top sides that we're going to make extra helpings of are mashed potatoes, stuffing, and mac and cheese.
King Richard in theaters coming up tomorrow, also on HBO Max. From that, we've got Layla Crawford plays, I'm going to mess up the first name, Lyndrea Price is the role that she plays in the movie. And Layla, yes, first off.
You got it right.
How about that? I've got to take the little victories. Layla, it's a privilege to visit with you today.
I'm happy to be here.
Now, how much anticipation leads up to this weekend for you, and can it come soon enough?
Oh my gosh, literally this film, we filmed this all of 2020. I've been waiting. We just had our premiere, so I'm really excited for everyone to see the work we put in. It's a whole lot of nerves, but I'm really excited for it.
Now, Layla, tell us about the role of Lyndrea and what it was like trying to get in the skin of the new character for you.
So Lynn in the movie plays Serena and Venus, one of their older sisters. They have 3 older sisters. She's the middle child. Lyndrea is like sarcastic, precocious throughout the movie. You could see her little like funny moments that the audience will love. Honestly, just getting into this character, Lynn was on set. So even though playing a real person is nerve wracking, I was able to talk to her and do my own research and execute this pretty perfectly. And we're really similar in real life. So it wasn't too hard because she's already a lot like me, or I'm already a lot like her.
The story of King Richard, this is a story I've known about since they first bust onto the scene back many years ago. And for you, what do you think is so timely, so much right now that folks need to check out King Richard?
I think just so everyone can go get inspired. It's really King Richard is really just about family and planning for success and like being motivated and not letting anyone stop you. I think everyone is gonna like really get inspired from the story and really enjoy it because the family dynamic is insane. You don't even realize that they had a support system that was like key factors to their success, and then you can see how they had to face adversity and a whole bunch of challenges and problems, but they overcame it, and obviously everything paid off.
And for you, working alongside Will Smith, just to be on the screen with him, what was that experience like, and how much nerves did you had coming in the first day?
Oh, it was amazing. Mr. Will is honestly the greatest. First time I ever came to set, it felt surreal. Like, I was just sitting there staring at him like, is this even my life? But eventually, we all became like family. He was constantly advocating for everyone on set, making sure everyone was comfortable, and giving us advice and guiding us and making sure there was never a dull moment on set, for sure. And Mr. Will is honestly the best.
What did playing the role of Lindrea, you said that there was a lot of similarities between Layla and Lindrea. What did you learn about yourself playing this role?
Oh, I think what I took away from this role is just that family is everything. I also have a really close connection with my parents and my brother. So I think it kind of just enforced that family is really all you need.
That is good stuff. Now, what are your plans for release weekend? What big plans do you have looking forward to?
I definitely am going to force, well, not even have, I don't really have to force, but I definitely plan on going to see it with my family again, probably having friends go see it with me. Nothing too dramatic and crazy. We just had our premiere and that was everything I could have asked for, but I definitely plan on just going out and seeing it pretty much every day.
She said, I'm going to earn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Layla, how hard is it to sit in the theater and see yourself on the screen? How hard of an adaptation is that for you?
Oh my gosh, for as long as I've been acting, it's been so weird because it's like you look at yourself and everyone's saying you did a great job, but I can never tell if anyone's being honest. But with this movie, honestly, the movie itself is a movie I probably would have seen even if I had nothing to do with it. So it's great seeing myself. I look so different on screen than I do in real life because I was playing a younger age, but it's weird, but it's definitely liberating. I'll say that.
That is good stuff. Now, Layla, I always want to make sure and let listeners know where if they want to find more info about the movie. And then, of course, everything you've got going social media wise as well.
Well, you can follow me at The Real Layla C on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. On Instagram specifically, I'm constantly posting about this movie, constantly like setting reminders and reposting the trailer. And everyone offset is also really close. You could see some special moments between us. So you just have to keep up with me. Everything's up there.
There you go. Now, Layla, what are your post-release weekend? What's next up for you?
Next up, everything's pretty much in the works. We're just waiting for the next thing. I'm working on a lot of stuff that I can't really talk about, but a lot is coming. So you just got to be on the lookout.
Got to follow the socials. Got to follow the socials.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Layla, it has been great to visit with you. I can't wait to check out the movie this weekend. Check it out, King Richard. And Layla, hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.
Imagine you're in a work meeting and someone says, "Sorry, I've got to get this. My dog is calling." Well, it might actually be a thing soon. Researchers in Scotland and Finland teamed up to create a prototype device called a dog phone that lets your dog initiate video calls with you. They put a sensor in a dog toy, so anytime it shakes the toy in its mouth, you get a call. There's a screen they can see you on and a camera so you can see them. A researcher at the University of Glasgow came up with the idea and tested it out with her 10-year-old black lab, Zach, for 3 months. She showed him how to use it and left him alone with it every few days. And he did call her a handful of times. She's still not sure if he really knew what he was doing, but she got several calls where it seemed like he did. He'd approach the screen and show her some toys, and she'd talk to him through a speaker. He also made a few calls by mistake while he was sleeping with the toy, so he basically butt-dialed her. And by the end of the study, there were certain times of the day she expected him to call, but he didn't. So she was sad, like he ghosted her. Now, the whole idea is to address the problem of separation anxiety now that we aren't working from home as much. There are already video chat features you can access, but they want to let the dogs be the active users of technology and call if they miss you or feel anxious during the day.
A new Christmas single, her first Christmas single, we're going to be talking about Christmas Snow, and we've got Mackenzie Phipps with us today. And Mackenzie, I appreciate you carving some time out to visit with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really been looking forward to it.
Hopefully we can live up to that.
I'm sure we will.
Mackenzie, when did you know that you had something special in music? When did you know that you had a calling to do some music in your life?
Yeah, so I started singing when I was 4 years old in church with my mama. I would just mess around on the piano. I would play little notes of songs that I heard other people sing. And from that point on, she was like, oh, well, she really likes to sing. So she would take me to her house and get me into singing hymns at my church every Sunday. And, you know, I come from a musical family as it is. My Uncle Ronnie actually was a very, very talented songwriter and musician and singer. And he actually wrote songs for Alison Krauss and Johnny Cash's brother. So I've always been around music my entire life. And, you know, I started playing my first instrument, which was the piano, at age 10. And then from that point on, I attended a music school where other teens and kids can go and do music as well. And it kind of taught me the ropes to learning how to perform out in public and showing me how to really be comfortable on stage and such. And then at 15, that's when I basically started performing out in public and started writing my own songs. And ever since then, that's what I've been doing every weekend.
It's been a whirlwind ever since, right? Now, how much different is the songwriting for you now as opposed to 15-year-old Mackenzie?
Well, you know, honestly, it's not too different because I'm one of those people where whenever I write songs, it has to be about something that has occurred in my life. So I wrote my first song when I was 15 about this boy that I was absolutely obsessed with in eighth grade. And then from that point on, I just started getting more into songwriting. And anytime I went through an obstacle in life where I was very passionate about something, I just basically wrote off that. So nothing really has changed too much. I think my wording has definitely gotten a lot better, and also adding accompaniment has gotten a lot better since then. But as far as the writing process goes, it's pretty much the same.
Now, what was it that prompted you to get the first Christmas song out there for you, the first Christmas release? And how exciting is it to have a Christmas release out under your name as well?
It is so, so exciting. I never thought that I would actually have my own Christmas song going out there because, you know, you always hear all the Christmas songs during holiday season, but you never really think about writing one. And it's actually quite funny because this song was actually a very, very, very last minute project. I had 1 week to do this song. So I got with my other songwriter, who's Shane Begley, and he's a very, very talented singer, songwriter, musician, the whole nine yards. And he helps me with a lot of songs that I have written, as far as he'll help me with accompaniment or just some words, or I'll work on some songs that he's wrote. And, you know, given that he's written probably 1,000 songs, I asked him, I was like, so do you have a Christmas song that we can like work on so we don't have to write one? And he was like, no, actually, I've never wrote a Christmas song. So I was like, great. So, you know, during that whole process, we kind of realized that we are not the best at writing Christmas songs under pressure. So it actually got down to the very last day before we were supposed to go in studio, and we had nothing. And I texted him while he was at work, and I said, all right, you have to come up with something. Like, start something, send it to me, and I will finish it. I was like, I don't care if it's a line. I don't care. I was like, we got to do something. So he had written the first verse and the chorus of what he had gotten, and he sent it to me, and I changed around some words, and I kind of went along with whatever storyline he had already created. And from that point on, I finished the rest of the song. I added music to it. I brought him over that day before. I was like, all right, we got to go over this. We got to do it. So we went over it, and I looked at him. I was like, all right, this is, you know, it's a little rough, but that's okay. We're going to go in the studio and pray that it all falls out. And it exceeded my expectations, to say the least. I was so, so happy with how it came out. I was especially happy to also have Rhonda Vincent's dobro player play on that song as well. So that was very, very cool and very exciting. I think it really added that final touch to what I was looking for, because I was looking for a country Christmas song, which I don't really see much of these days. So it definitely exceeded my expectations.
Now, what was that last week? I mean, were you getting any sleep at all worrying about getting it done?
Well, you see, My mom, she gets really aggravated because my mom's a very type A person where she's like, everything has to have a plan. It has to be organized and executed on time. And I am opposite. I'm both type A and type B in a sense that like I'm a huge perfectionist. But as far as getting stuff done in a timely manner, I wait until the very last minute to do it. So she was the one that was kind of pushing me and Shane to get on it. And it was actually funny because one day during the week, I told him, I was like, oh, we have to come and we have to work on it. And we took 3 hours and we couldn't come up with anything at all. And my mom had called me and she's like, I'm about to pull in the house. I want to hear what y'all have written. And I looked and I was like, we have to leave. We have nothing to show her. She's going to be so mad. So I was like, we got to go get something. We got to go get food so I can come up with a distraction. So we left. And then that final day, I was like, we have to do something. We have to come up with something. But I'm very glad that it came out very well in the end.
What is your best way to deal with writer's block? Do you have something that you do whenever you're having those moments of block?
You know, typically, if I'm not on a time crunch, typically songs come very easy to me when I write them. Like, every song that I have written has basically been in one day. And that's when I don't have a time crunch. Typically, I'll get something in my mind and I'm like, I gotta write something about that. Or it'll like dwindle in my mind and stay there for a bit. So then it just all flows. But then as far as during that encounter, I was just kind of like, you know what? We're just going to wing it, hope for the best. We're going to work with what is presented and go with it.
Who are the songwriting influences in your music? Who do you get inspired by?
Well, I definitely love Miss Ashley McBride. I love all of her songs. I think her songs are very, very well written, and I'm so glad that she's now starting to get a lot of recognition now, especially with performing at the CMAs. I was very happy to see her performance. And I've honestly been really digging Luke Combs now because he did that one song at the CMAs that I feel it completely floored me because I was like, this song speaks for every single musician or singer in this entire world that I know a lot of people who are not in the music field will probably not relate to or understand as much. But I'm absolutely in love with that song, and it's called Doing This. So if y'all haven't heard that, y'all gotta go check it out because I absolutely love that. But those are two very, very important people that I really like their songwriting skills.
Now, being a part of Nashville, I know you're not in Nashville at the moment, but being a part of the Nashville scene, when you first made the trek to Nashville doing some work, what was it like coming into the city knowing, aha, I'm finally going to do some work here?
Well, I had went to Nashville back in May, I believe that was the month, because I actually had to go for a business trip because I was very fortunate to have 7 billboards with my single Maybe released on them. So I was very, very fortunate and so thrilled to have that opportunity. And when I went down there, you know, we got to walk throughout the city, and it kind of sucks right now for me because a lot of the bars that I would like to go into to actually hear the entertainment, I'm not old enough to go into. So I have one friend, and her name is Francelle, and she does a lot of work down there. And I had messaged her one day and I told her, I was like, I would love to come and see you in Nashville and stuff. And I told her, I was like, the only issue is I just can't get into half the places you play at. But I was very, very, very happy to go into Tootsie's, and there was a band playing, and Shane looked at me and he was like, I'm going to get you up there to play. And I was like, yeah, okay, good luck with that. And we were all standing there, and the lead singer of the band that was playing, she came down and was taking a tip bucket around, and he had a $50 bill, and he went, I will give you this if you let her go up and sing a song. And she was like, all right, that's cool. So they let me go up on stage, and I got to sing not only one song, but two. So I was very, very fortunate. And then I guess at that moment, that's when I was like, I want to come here. I want to do music here. I want to get into the field. I want to make it.
What is it for you? What is it about Nashville and Music City that really screams out to you?
Well, you know, I come from a very, very small town. Like, it's very, very small. It's Bloomfield, Virginia. And I always tell people all the time that the most excitement we get here is our Walmart. I'm not even joking. Like, we have a mall and nobody goes to it. Everybody goes to Walmart to go hang out at. But whenever you go down, when I went to Nashville and I was able to really connect with a lot of artists there and I saw how much work they were putting forth, and I was like, I'm in the exact same position that they are in. And I just felt very connected, and I felt like that was where I belonged because I love my small town, but a lot of people here don't really understand how much work is done and put forth for a musician and a singer. That's why I had written a song called Behind the Scenes, because, you know, I was at school one day and I had to leave early because I had a show. And I came back the next day and I had missed a test the day before. And I asked my friend, I was like, oh, well, would you mind telling me what was on that test so that I can kind of get an idea? And they had looked at me and they were like, well, maybe if you didn't leave to go to one of your little shows, then you would know. And, you know, that kind of, I guess in a sense, I had to look at their perspective and I was like, you know, they don't really understand that this is a job. Like, it's a very hardworking job. And I sat at my house and I was like, you know, I want to write a song about just the struggles that a musician deals with, and that, you know, everybody sees that you're doing all of these great things in the music world, but they don't really know what was put into getting there. So I wrote that song just to give people on the outside an idea of, you know, it's hard. It's hard work to be able to do all this stuff and to be presented in the public eye and to get where you want to be. And, you know, that song, I wrote it specifically for my life and where I'd like to see my life go in music. But I think the overall theme of that song is anything that you're putting forth work in, people see the end result all the time, but they don't see the behind the scenes action of how they got there.
That is good stuff. That is good stuff. Now, the single that is out there, the Christmas single, is available. What is to come in 2022? What's the new year look like for you?
Well, I'm very, very excited to be working on this one project. Like I was saying, I started singing when I was 4 years old in church with my mama. And my mama, she has been such a great support system with my music. She always pushed me to do so many different things. And as time has went on, she has developed Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's been a very, very tough thing to deal with, especially when it first started, which I believe it started about 5 years ago. My family doesn't really know, but just with her mindset, I think it was around 5 or so years ago it started to come. And she's in very, very great condition now. Like, she still knows a lot of us. She knows our family. But I brought her over here to get her ready because I was taking her out for her birthday because she hadn't went out in a while. And, you know, people who have relatives or friends in their lives who suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia, they know that, you know, sometimes they have good days, some days they have great days, and sometimes they have not so great days. And that day I brought her over was, it happened to be a not so great day. So, you know, it really stresses myself out and it stresses my mom out because just have to really work with her and try to get her to do stuff and to be reasonable. And I was sitting on my couch and I started getting really teary-eyed because I was like, you know, it just really sucks when you have somebody that you love start to lose all of their memories and lose who they are as a person. So I started writing on my phone. I'd written like 2 lines on my phone. I was like, whatever. And then I went to a doctor's appointment one day, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it just was stuck in my head. I was like, I have to finish this. So on my way to the doctor's office, I was writing it the entire time I went to the doctor's office. And when I came back, I got my guitar and my mom was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I just finished a song and I have to get the music to it. And I'm very, very excited to be launching this project because as I wrote the song and I finished it and I realized in this world that there's not many songs subject around Alzheimer's or dementia. And that is something that I feel a lot of people struggle with in their life, especially with relatives. And I feel as though this song will definitely shine light on a very, very touchy and tough situation that I know millions of people do deal with every single day. And just the people that I have let listen to, it has really touched their hearts, and it's made me very, very happy that I was able to do that through my music. And I feel that this song will definitely help a lot of people with coping with it if they're in the situation or if they've lost a loved one with it. So hopefully this will be released in April, but I'm very excited to be doing the music video to it. And yeah, the most information I can give on it at this point is its name, and it is Life's Game. So I'm very, very excited. So y'all can stay tuned for that.
That's cool. Now, was the write on that, was that an easy finish for you? Is like you said earlier, it's usually just a day. Was that the same with this one? Just kind of got rolling?
Yeah, it went one day. I wrote it on my way to the doctor's office, which, you know, is probably not the best idea. Just typing while looking at my phone. I'm just like, I got to finish it. But, you know, when I'm in the mode to do it, because for the longest time, I really wasn't writing songs. And my mom was like, you know, you kind of need to get on this songwriting ball. And I was like, I'm just not one of those people who can just sit down and come up with something. I have to have something in my life that I feel can touch people's hearts and can be very relatable to them in order to write something. So when that day happened, it was just kind of like, I have to finish this. I have to do it. And I can honestly say that is probably going to be one of the most sentimental songs that I've ever written. I don't think anything will be able to beat that. I honestly do think that is my favorite song that I have written. And it's going to take a while for something to beat that song. But yes, that one is, it just came so natural. And the words to me just completely flowed onto my phone and onto paper. And I was very, very happy with how it came out.
That's awesome. Well, the single, the Christmas single, Christmas Snow, want to make sure and let folks know. I mean, I'm sure it's available anywhere you pick up your music, but also want to give folks the opportunity if they want to find out more about Mackenzie, website, social media, and all that as well.
Yeah, so y'all can find me on Facebook or YouTube just by looking at Mackenzie Phipps. If you get on Facebook, I'll be listed under pages, so y'all will see my music page. And then my website is mackenziephippsmusic.com, and my Instagram is mackyp143, mackyp143.
All right.
Christmas Snow is on all streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes, the whole nine yard.
Well, that's awesome. And Mackenzie, it's been great to get to know you a little bit today. I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule, and hopefully people don't give you too hard a time if you had to skip out on something.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated getting to talk to you and meet you.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 153rd episode in season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store, where we've got hoodies, shirts, tumblers, mugs, stickers, backpacks, and much more. GQwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, email me, Cameron@GQwithcam.com. I do want to say thanks to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. And as always, we're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your evening.